Today for our worship, we use the Office of Prime, as you will find it beginning on page 108 in the front part of your hymn book. And please rise for the versicles. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought, word, and deed, for the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. Reading before us is taken from the first chapter of the Revelation given to St. John, beginning with the 17th verse. And when I saw him, that is the glorified Christ, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in the 1940s, my father was here as a student on campus, and in the summertime, he stayed around and did work for the college. And he was living up on the fourth floor, or top floor, I should say, of Anderson Hall. And back then, Anderson Hall had hardwood floors through the entire hallway as well as the stairs. They weren't concrete and hard as you see today, but they were wood floors. And one night he said he was going back to his room way at the end of the hall. Nobody else in the whole dormitory. The building was all empty. And he got down to the end of the hall and was looking out the windows just at the city, at the lights. It was real late at night. And all of a sudden, he could hear somebody coming up the stairwell. And he thought maybe it was President Ilvesacker or somebody that was coming to see him. Hallway was dark, and he turned and looked back and couldn't see anybody. And the footsteps kept coming down the hallway to him. And he started to get a little bit afraid. He was a big guy from Chicago. This is kind of intimidating. Every once in a while, bums would sneak up into the dorm and stay up in the attic, apparently. And so he was wondering if there was some intruder. Well, suddenly the footsteps stopped right near him, and he couldn't see anybody. And he realized it was his own footprints from the wood and the floor that was creeping back up. It's interesting, when something is unseen to us, that's when we often are afraid. A child going to bed at night in the darkness. We think of a young woman going out to her car at midnight in a parking lot, wondering if anybody's out there. Even people that go in to find out there's something wrong with their body. One of the hardest points in the whole experience is usually when they don't know. The unseen, the unknown, is oftentimes the most difficult part that there is. And if you think about yourself as well, if you think about the things that have the potential, at least, to make you afraid as you look forward in life, there are always things that are unknown and unseen. There's an element to it that's always this unknown and unseen part. It's interesting that the word for, in our text that's translated Hades, literally means the thing that is unseen. It's a word that's often used to describe the underworld or the afterlife or the realm of the dead. And I think for most of us, we'd have to say that there is nothing that has the potential to make us afraid in life more than this unknown or unseen thing after the grave. All of the texts that we have for this week and this week in the church year, all of the texts that we have before us in this season of the church deal with the troubles and difficulties believers may have in this life while they wait for Christ to return. And not only the sorrows that we go through, but the potential fears that we may have about life and about the things we have to deal with in our future and so on. We're living in a dangerous world, and there are potentially dangerous times ahead for us. In the text before us, John's reaction to the glorified, exalted Christ is very interesting. We're told in the verses right before this that in his state of exaltation, that Christ was shining before him as the sun. His countenance was like as bright as the sun. And being in the presence of Christ like this causes John, this mortal man, to be afraid. And we often see that reaction, don't we, and when people are confronted with someone in a glorified state. In fact, John says, "I fell at his feet as dead, like I was a dead corpse in front of him. I was so terrified." But we see Jesus deal with him and his fears so gently, as we often do. He comes and touches him, it says, with his right hand, which is always the hand of power and authority. Christ comes and touches him with his right hand, and he says very simply, "Do not be afraid." And then he reminds him who he is. "I am he who lives and was dead, but I am now alive forevermore." Christ reminds John, and through him all of us, exactly who we're dealing with when we are dealing with Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who has existed from all eternity, the one who created the world, the one who has authority and power above all things in heaven and on earth. And he is the one that tells us now that when it comes to death, the most fearful thing in your future, he says, "I hold the keys to Hades, the unknown, that fearful thing, and to death itself." If you think about keys, they're kind of a wonderful symbol of authority. The fact that you have the key to your room means it belongs to you while you're here to use it. The key to your car, it means that you possess something. This is yours. You are entitled to use it. You have the right to use it and own it and possess it. Keys are a wonderful symbol of authority. I remember when I was a little child watching a movie. I was probably in about sixth grade, watching a movie of a young person who was accidentally buried alive. And I just remember being terrified about that. What an awful thought to accidentally be proclaimed dead and to be put into your coffin and then to wake up inside of your grave and there's nothing you could do about it. That's probably one of the most terrifying thoughts about how to die or something that could happen to us. Our Lord Jesus Christ had his actual dead body placed into his grave, and yet by his own power and from the working of the Spirit, his Holy Spirit, as well as the Father, he was revivified. His flesh came back to life. And you could say, in a sense, that he has unlocked his own grave from the inside. Nothing shows authority and power and dominance more than that, than to be able to open your own grave from the inside. And our Lord Jesus, with all of this authority and power as the Son of God, all authority, Christ with all of this authority, now takes these same keys that have gotten him out of his own grave, and through his word and sacrament hands them to you, so that you and I can now possess them. I don't know if you've ever had it that somebody's going to turn over a key to you, maybe to a room or to a house or something like that, and they'll often take you up to the door and stick the key in and show you how it works so that you know, they demonstrate to you that it has the power to work. That's what our Lord Jesus has done with his resurrection on Easter. He's gone to his own grave and taken you along, and he said through his word, he has said to you, I'm going to demonstrate to you that the keys I'm going to give you work. My own resurrection from my grave is your proof that the ones you by faith will now possess and take into your grave someday with your body will get you likewise out of your casket. Isn't it interesting that whenever Jesus deals with matters of death, when he's talking to his faithful, that he always shrinks it way down to these little things? He calls it a sleep. He calls it an entrance into a banquet, entrance into a mansion. He talks about it like going through a door or maybe a ride in the arms of angels. Think of the irony that we have here. The most secure prison that the devil could come up with to try to hold you, death itself, Jesus now comes along and says, I can open it with a little key, a little fob can get you out of that casket. How much smaller and insignificant could Christ make your death than what he tells us in our text? And so we need to remember who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the one who has all authority, and everything in this world and everyone must bow to his command and fall beneath his feet. And how gracious that he has given us the keys to our own graves. And so what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? With Christ in hand, we can say to the devil, bring it on. And we can say to our graves, bring it on. Amen.